Does that thing ever happen to you where you're going along, you're totally normal, you're having a regular day, and then you get nostalgic or maybe even a little melancholy about, I don't know, the times that have gone before? Like, it's one of the weird things about getting older to me is you have all these incredible memories of the past, but if you're doing it right, you never stop being interested in about the future. But man, I got a pang about Grant Hart, you know, and the passing of Grant Hart a while ago, and how much Husker Du meant to me. And I thought, well, I would be remiss if we didn't start episode 263 of the Brian Oak Show without a little Grant Hart music from the halcyon days of Husker Du. But do you ever get that feeling?
Oh, absolutely. And it's funny because a certain smell, something that I see, will trigger that. And every once in a while, like, you know, well, songs, of course, they take you back to the place where you heard them.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about you and seeing Husker Du in concert.
I have.
And that song.
One time.
Has to be crazy. Like, when you had to go crazy when you heard that song.
One of the prettiest girls I've ever known in my entire life. And again, I was such an awkward, dorky. It's going to be hard for you to imagine, Sean, but I was such an awkward dork as a teenager. And I got a pair of tickets to go see the Dead Kennedys and Husker Du.
Oh, I didn't know the Kennedys. I can't believe
at
they opened
Armory,
up for them.
At the Armory,
shit.
Otto's Chemical Lounge, Husker
no
Du, and
way.
The Dead Kennedys. And this was sort of my teenage punk rock dreams coming together, and I got
like
a pair of tickets.
85, 86? What? Give
so
me a year.
This would have been 1985. Yep, okay. I would have been a junior in high school. And something, and again, being the most nervous dork in the world, something inspired me to ask the prettiest girl in my high school if she wanted, because she was not part of the popular club, but she was a vision, and something inspired me to go ask her, would you like to go to this show? And she was in my French class. She'd been in for a couple of years, and she looked up at me, and she's like, that sounds fun. I'd love to go. And I just, like, you know those cartoons where, like, you're so happy that you sprout little wings and you float away? And I was like, oh, my God. And I went back and sat down next to the other nerd next to me. I'm like, and you know what? We went out. We had a fantastic evening. I had such a good time that I never talked to her again because I am the worst person on the planet. I'm so bad. I'm so bad at that stuff, which is probably why I got married when I did. My name is Brian Oak. This is the Brian Oak Show. It's powered by Smart Start MN. We are, in fact, in the Smart Start MN studios in beautiful and today rather jungly weather.
Ooh, it's only going
to
get worse, too.
Oh, man, gross. I can't wait to get home and hide in the basement. Lay on the wet, cold concrete floor just to cool off a little bit. I hate this weather. But our guest today, I know, feels differently. She enjoys tropical weather. She enjoys being warm. And we'll talk more about that coming up in just a minute. But it's made possible by Smart Start MN. You know, if you drink and drive and you screw up, these things happen, right? No judgment. It just don't kill anyone. Don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt anybody else. But you will spend more on Ubers and Lyfts and bugging your buddies or friends for rides than you will on what it costs to get the Smart Start MN system installed in your vehicle.
Yeah, just go to smartstartmn.com/thebrianoakshow. That'll get you 20% off the installation of the ignition interlock.
Our guest today is a very interesting individual to me. You know, I found out about her online long before I ever met her in person. And she was always interesting, like not a thirst trap, not a weirdo. A powerful songwriter, a very interesting looking individual, got these huge almond eyes that I can't ever stop looking at. And, but I mean, just like an interesting, but then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I'm here in this foreign country for 3 months, or here, I'm going over here, living a much more interesting life than I would ever have the guts to live. And I'm fond that we've talked to her before. She's been on the podcast, but it was through long distance.
Yeah,
it was through
Zoom.
The Zoom medium when we all had to be that way. But today we welcome her into the Smart Start MN studios. You may know her as Holy Hannah. You may know her as Hannah Vanderhoff. Sorry about that. And that it was the inspiration of this song right here. So while I was feeling nostalgic earlier today, it wasn't just Grant Hart. I was having a David Bowie moment for whatever reason. Now, I have a lot of those moments because he's my favorite of all time. And so he's regularly in the rotation. But I went back and I was listening this morning to some deeper tracks, some non-album tracks, some tracks that are not available unless you're a complete Dorcas Malorcas, like I am. But it turns out Bowie has a brilliant song called Holy Holy. We'll talk to Holy Hannah right after this.
Lie. holy, holy. Hold on to anyone. Hold on to anyone. But let go of me.
You know, if you take the time and you do enough digging, I'm not saying that everyone has to love Bowie, but if you decide to ever really go down the rabbit hole, there's so much stuff that never made it on an album that's all sitting there on B-sides or reissues that is so worth checking out, and that's one of those songs right there. Holy,
ever,
Holy by David
Bowie. Do you
David
ever say
Bowie.
To people that don't like Bowie, I would just look at them and say, I wouldn't expect a man of your intellect to understand.
Jesus, no. Here's the.
I know you.
I know, but we've talked about this a lot of times, right? It's like, it's fun to spar about music, right? Like,
yes.
My friends and I, my closest friends, I'm like, oh, you're into that band? Well, I'm sorry. Do they sell any men's music where you bought that? Or, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Stupid, lame,
yep.
Old yep. School, ridiculous things, but we spar about music. And you don't have to love both. For instance, a great example, me. I respect Springsteen. I respect Dylan. You will never come over to my house. Well, first of all, you'll never come over to my house. But also, you will never, ever come over to my house and have me put one of those records on. It's just not my jam. I respect them. And so when someone's like, I don't really dig the Beatles. I don't really dig Bowie. I don't really dig the Cars. I don't really dig the B-52. Actually, you know what? I draw the line at B-52s. If you don't dig the B-52s, you're fucking broken. Let's go ahead and meet today's guest. Today's guest is a woman by the name of Hannah Vonderhoff, and she is a remarkable musician, a very interesting human, and super fun to follow online, and now, finally, in the Smart Start MN studio. Hi, Hannah. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
A lot of people know you as Holy Hannah, correct?
Yes.
All right, so we talked before, and I'm sure we've covered some of the same ground, but to get people back up to speed, you are Minnesotan, born and raised?
Born and raised. On the Weber Parkway, north side, Minneapolis, currently residing on the south side.
Did you just throw a north side sign up at me? Is that what
that was? No, it wasn't.
It sure looked like it.
I mean,
look, hey, I don't want to fight. I'm a south sider, but that's
from.
Cool. Here's, you know, well, again, and none of us get, yeah, I grew up in Coon Rapids, so I'm not one. I guess I'm way north side, right? North suburban cultural corridor. Hannah, when does music become what Hannah does? At what point in your development? I mean, I'm sure you did all the things, band and choir and all the things, but at some point, music becomes the focus of your life. Do you remember a flashpoint, or was it a slow thing and suddenly you realize too late that you're a pod person and you have no choice but to do music? When does that become your thing?
Oh, I guess there is a couple of checkpoints in that regard. The most significant one, and probably the best storytelling material, I had dropped out of college and was working full time for a while, 18 and onwards, and I had this desk job for I don't know how many years, and there's just one too many times that I was up super late, being in a band, partying, not lights on in the office at 6 a.m. with pastries and coffee ready for the board meeting.
Oof.
And I got my ass fired, but it was really appropriate. And I shed my tear, and then rode my bike over to the Astor Cafe, interviewed for a service position because I knew that the service industry was much more in line with my musical goals. And
plus, the hours
desire.
Are way better, right?
Oh my God, yeah,
way better.
Just flexible, the kind of people, all of it. I just knew it was the appropriate transition. So I'd already been kind of like feeling that out, And it was on that specific day of my interview for the service job that I got fired from my desk job.
So can I ask, if you don't mind, and again, you don't have to share anything on the show you don't want to, but again, there's really nothing you can't say on this show. When you got fired, did you get fired because you were too tired, you were bleary-eyed, you reeked of booze? Can I ask how you got fired?
I think it was a culmination of just right. incidents of me not really caring.
Just like, whoa.
I just didn't care anymore.
She looks like... Maybe
that's
she hasn't gone
so
to bed.
Yeah.
Well, and again, no. I'm not trying to out you on anything. I just, these are there are very weird defining moments in people's lives, right? And where you can either succumb and let it crush you, or you can decide, this is the day I change the trajectory of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so you go and, you know, you're the same day you get fired, you're doing this. So you'd already thought about moving on from this job anyway.
I had, and it was a nice little external push.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, there's nothing like having to keep the lights on or eat food to motivate someone to make some money and do another thing, right?
Yeah.
But now, prior to this, so I mean, like, you move into this, but prior to this, you had decided that music was part of who you were, more than just watching it, more than just enjoying it. You decided at some point, you know what, I can do this, and I'm pretty good at it. Did that happen before or after your butt was kicked out of corporate America?
That happened before. So right around the same time that I had dropped out of college, in order to just start making money right away, I was like, well, I don't know what I want to do. But I do know I need to make rent. So let's go to work. And,
again, a powerful motivator. I dropped out of college, too, and I felt that sting immediately. Yeah, I got you.
And I'm really grateful for that path, just getting some real-world traction right away. But to answer your question, so it was right at that time where I was starting to do, like, the coffee shop thing. I didn't have any friends, really. I grew up in kind of this cult-y kind of situation.
I'm sorry. We're going to stop for 1 second. And I'm really not, I don't do TMZ stuff. I'm not asking you to expose everything. But when you say culty, do you mean like a sort of like extreme Christian situation? Or do you mean like a Baphomet sacrificing people in the basement situation?
No,
what are we talking about?
It's the like more happier sort of.
Okay.
It's a, yeah.
Again,
no,
I'm not asking you to open up a vein.
No bloodletting, babies means.
Well, I have to ask, because when you say culty, I have to know, are we worshiping the ancient elder ones who live under the ocean, or just sort of weird variations on what most of us know?
I would say, yes, an extreme Christian.
But as a result, and again, we don't have to go any deeper than that, but as a result, you grow up, you know, I mean, like you said, relatively friendless, and you're doing your own thing, and you're in a weird, isolated sort of place.
Yeah, I was very isolated, and that's why I kind of refer to it as a borderline cult.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say what specifically, because I have a lot of respect for this. I mean, as far as like cults go in the world, and like
as far as cults go in the world,
it's a very like well-intentioned, relatively kind, beautiful group of people.
Yeah, yeah,
they
yeah.
just tend to, or not tend to, they do only socialize with themselves.
I think that's fairly regular, right?
Yeah. So I just,
I mean, for cults,
for cults.
There
so
we are.
I wasn't encouraged to have, you know, friendships outside of that religion. And so when I was 17 and graduating high school, I was like, okay, deuces, I got to do my thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, and then just starting from scratch socially in a lot of ways. And so one of the ways to make friends was, I started going to this coffee. It was Uncommon Grounds in Uptown, actually, specifically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I was like, well, there's all these people and they're smoking cigs outside. I think I need to start smoking.
Look at those
cigarettes.
Look at the cool kids over
and
there.
Yeah. And then then because of that, I started making friends.
Wow.
It was an easy in. And then just, and I'm not like promoting cigarette smoking or anything. I still
smoke
struggle.
Them. No. And again, and don't.
Back and forth with that. It's
kids, stay in school and don't
thing.
Do drugs. No, I mean, I always joke to my friends like that I know have never smoked and never will. And I offer them a cigarette. Like, yeah, no thanks. I'm like, never too late to start looking cool. Which apparently Hannah has just backed up entirely. Can I ask you one last thing, and then I promise I'll let the your self-described cult past go. You also went out of your way to make sure that to say that these are mostly very kind, very gentle. They're very insular.
Mm-hmm.
So growing up in that environment is weird, right? Because you feel like you miss out on a lot of the world, but there's a kindness, there's a generosity, there is an empathy. If those people really believe that, and if you grew up in that environment, these are things that you've carried into your modern day life, right? I mean, there are still things about being kind to one another, hoping the best for your fellow human being, that sort of thing that you still carry, right?
Yes, I actually, my moral constitution is every day something that I am reflecting on in one way or another, just things that matter to me or ways in which I'd like to improve as a person. One of the things that growing up in an environment like that put me in touch with is just like judgment in general. Mm-hmm. And that's a two-sided coin. In groups that are insular like that, where there's kind of this, you're holding the world at an arm's length, there's all this judgment that is taking place, which I find to be the antithesis of what is the very message that they're trying to preach. And so that's always been a huge conflict for me. Mm. And so, but we all intrinsically are judgmental people. Mm-hmm. We can't really help it. It's just how we are.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I like to be an advocate for allowing people to be and do what they want to do, and I don't have an interference with that. But how I conduct myself, I like to have a moral code, but also, you know, just kind of hang.
It almost sounds like that you're advocating for human decency and kindness right there.
Yeah, something like that.
Interesting. You know, growing up, so again, while I can't describe my upbringing as cult-like, I did grow up in the Catholic Church, and I remember the very day that I broke with my so-called Catholic faith. I always had a lot of questions, and it was mainly about the people who claimed to, they wore Christianity like a patch on their sweatshirt, mm-hmm. right? And I remember the very day that I'm like, I'm done with this shit, is we were heading in, we were at a part of a large parish up in the North Suburban Cultural Corridor. And one day on the way in, two people were fighting over a parking spot. They both tried to pull into it. Both the dudes who were driving their families to church got out and almost came to blows. They were in a screaming match over a parking spot where literally 15 feet away there were 20 other parking spots. And I'm like, they don't know why we're here. This is the wrong direction. Let's not do that. Let's still be good to each other. Somehow, despite my lack of faith, I know that the right thing to do is to listen and to pay attention, be decent to other people, and lift them up when you can. I mean, otherwise, what are we doing, right?
Yeah.
What are we doing? Before we go any further and talk more about cults or about your upcoming residency at the Astor, let's hear some of your music. I hate to go too long without hearing a song. So tell me about this first one.
We're going with Kiss Method.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Kiss Method is the Keep It Simple, Stupid.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. It was invented by some Navy person.
I'd never heard that. I didn't know if it was one of those.
If I remember my
no, I didn't like
Google
it.
Search
oh, but where
correctly.
It's from.
Yeah, where it's from.
We've all heard Keep
yeah.
It Simple,
oh, of course,
Stupid.
Yes, but I didn't know where it was from.
I didn't know where it's from either.
Because in my entire sales career, you better believe I heard, just use the KISS method.
Have you ever heard Keep It Simple, Stupid?
Yes.
Yeah.
Also known as the KISS Principle.
Yes. Oh, the yeah. Principle.
What about the KISS Army? Can you tell us about... Sorry.
Yeah, that's Knights and Satan service. Okay. I don't think any of us want to talk about that. All right.
All right.
Tell us about your song, Kiss.
So this is this is the first track off of my debut album. I almost named the album Kiss Method, but I decided instead to go with the self-titled release. This is about just kind of like in a pinch moment, your gut feeling and intuition is definitely going to guide you. And so when you need to just kind of strip away the other bullshit, you can pretty much safely rely on that. At least in the moment, that's what I was writing this song about, and amongst other things. But I hope you like it.
That sounds real and raw and organic and cool, and it sounds like a rock session, right? It doesn't sound like I've crafted this in my bedroom and I put together a future. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but that felt like a rock and roll session. Did it feel like it when you were making it?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah. I love it. I mean, it sounds real and raw, and you told me you went specifically to a place that really takes a more analog than digital approach to make that record. Is that a conscious choice? Did you want something that felt like rock and roll?
100% conscious choice. I sought out specifically studios that had an analog capability and setup. And I first did a little interview. I did a single track with Brown Bag Studios, which is in Southside, 42nd and Cedar.
Uh-huh.
Tony Schreiner is the studio owner and engineer folks might know from the band Mala Manya. And I did a track with him called Time Machine, which we may or may not hear today.
Oh, we're going to hear that today.
And I did that as a way to just kind of like, okay, is this the vibe that I'm going for? And then through that process, I was like, Yes.
There's nothing wrong with a test run, right?
This is it. And I just knew that by having an analog approach, I would just kind of connect even more deeply with the recording process and just feel like really like I'm swimming in the same waters that all the great artists back in the day were swimming in this like reel-to-reel kind of situation. And I just wanted to do that.
While we were listening to the song, you mentioned something fascinating to me, because I've always wondered when it comes to musicians, especially living in this modern age, if you're artistic, nothing's ever perfect, right? But at some point, you've got to put a flag on it and say, that's it, we're done. And so by taking the analog approach, even though there are many ways still to get across the goal line, at some point, you're like, we're almost out of tape.
Mm-hmm.
We got one more track. We can lay something over the top of. At some point, it requires you to be like, we're done. And to me, that's fascinating. Again, I understand so little about writing music or even less about making music. But it's got to be, as an artist, like, you feel like, nope, we got it. But then later on, you go back and listen. You're like, oh, you know what we could have done? We could have put that one. We could have hit that Pepsi can right there one more time.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you, Hannah, you go professionally by Holy Hannah. Holy Hannah is a relatively old-fashioned expression, well before you were born.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, but I love it. I mean, it's perfect for you. But I wanted to ask, when is the first time in your life you remember hearing someone say, Holy Hannah?
That is a great question, because it is a super specific event.
I'm happy to hear about it.
This is before my first and only semester at the U of M. I was walking on campus, and there's a group of people sitting outside, and they all of a sudden exclaim, Holy Hannah. I'd never heard this before in my life. And I'm, you know, maybe all of 18. And so I look over and they see me notice, and they're like, Hannah? Holy Hannah? And I was like, yeah. They're like, you've never heard that before? I was like, no. And then they explained, they're like, oh yeah, it's an expression. It kind of means, you know, it's a like a PC way to say like, holy shit or something.
Yeah,
right.
And so then as I started performing around as Hannah Vonderhoff and really struggling with people remembering my name, how to spell it, how to pronounce it, all of it, I was like, well, I guess ideally it would be nice to have some low-hanging easily remembered moniker to go by. And it just felt like, okay, Holy Hannah is a Midwestern phrase, low-hanging fruit. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to just take it and run with it and see what happens.
But I don't even think it's low-hanging fruit. We live in an era that is so filled with static and so congested. You have to have something, and maybe it's low-hanging fruit, but you have to have something easily digestible, but also not easily forgettable. And again, Holy Hannah, among our grandparents, probably a little more recognizable, but also still a very cool phrase. So before you were walking past those people on the U of M campus that day, you'd never heard Holy Hannah before. Because to me, I mean, that's like a, I don't know, that's like a something Jimmy Stewart would say or Andy Griffith would say, right?
Uh-huh. Oh, Holy Hannah.
Or something. I actually had found a little graphic of some like random cartoon from back in, who knows, like from the Boom Splat you know, days yeah. of yeah. Batman or yes, superheroes. Yeah. And it's like kind of one of those illustrations where, you know, the quote that the cartoonist says, "Holy Hannah, what the blazes is that?"
And, right.
and that just kind of like dated the whole thing. I was like, okay, this is an old school.
Super. It's brilliant. Before we hear another song and then talk more about your residency that you have upcoming at the Astor, and check in with Sean, what is ground zero for your creative output? If people are like, this Hannah Vanderhoff sounds like someone I might want to know more about. And I like saying Holy Hannah, also enjoying the music. What is ground zero for you? What, I mean, I'm sure you have an online resource somewhere that people can find everything they need to know.
The most direct way to support me as an artist yeah. is to purchase my music at Bandcamp.
Okay.
So you can literally go to bandcamp.com/Holy Hannah Club. Should have looked this up before I came.
Don't
but
worry.
We'll double
people
check.
People will
it.
Figure it out.
Yeah,
people will figure it out.
You can search in Bandcamp. You can search Holy Hannah and I will come up. So
okay.
the benefit to that is I, especially on Fridays, I retain 100% of the price.
Yep.
Which directly reimburses me for the cost of making the album. So I would like to think about it in those terms.
Well, and I think that's fair. So Sean and I, like, you know, we've done multiple events. We, you know, Sean is a realtor by trade. Every single one of his transactions, people get to donate, whether on the buy or sell side, to a local artist. Sean and I do what we do for a living because we're not here getting rich,
mm-hmm.
but just like you, not getting rich, but you want to do what you want to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we believe in what we do, and we believe in the place we live, and we believe in the artists and the people. Sean and I refuse to work with assholes.
Mm-hmm.
We're still on that, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
That's still part of the charter,
yep.
right?
Just through 2024 and then probably like one asshole per year after that.
Maybe.
It goes back to the non-judgment, right? You got to allow some of the assholes.
Yeah, but again, I'm not trying to judge anybody, but you know when someone's a dick, right? I mean,
oh,
it's just,
boy, yeah.
yeah, you do. Anyway, before we talk about the album and hear another song from you, Sean, would you like to talk about your endeavors as a realtor this summer?
How much time do you have?
Well, no, not that much time, man. You got okay. a minute. You got 60 seconds, but I noticed that in the last year, you know, it's you've been doing realty for a while, but as things, they were nuts at first, and even as they're regulating, though, you're still a busy person.
Yeah, really, really busy. In fact, I just picked up a couple of new clients this week. Brian's bleeding right now, so I'm just going to keep talking.
Mop up the blood on my leg.
Yep, the market is very interesting. There's a lot of people that think when the feds take the interest rates up 0.75 points like they did last week, that that means that the mortgage rates go up 0.75 points. That's not necessarily the case at all. In
what?
Fact, they went down late last week.
I was under the impression there'd be no math on this commercial.
Yeah, exactly. That was one of my favorite SNL bits, by the way.
That's a good one.
But yeah, so the market is still fine. You're just not going to be in multiple offers as much and probably not have to go way over when you're buying right now. But yeah, like Brian said, I'm still donating a portion of every buy and sell to a local artist or musician. In fact, I closed on a place last Friday and the money went to Dwinell Roland, and he was like,
who was a recent guest on the show, and he was like
over the moon about being selected. And then I was performed at the Ice House this weekend.
And apparently he murdered it. I watched a bunch of people online.
Yeah.
I was not able to make it because I was out of town. But, you know, I mean, that guy's been working hard recently, mm-hmm. working with Laserbeak. And I'm glad to hear that was the way that went down.
And I just had a shindig at my place, and I had a couple people say, who else can I donate to? Well, I just posted a link about Leslie Vinson, who's got her sophomore album is coming up. She's doing a Kickstarter. And got a couple people to donate to that as well. So if you know somebody that's in the market to buy or sell, and my daughter said, so it's really cool that you get to, you know, she said, I know that you don't love real estate, you like it, but you love local music and you love supporting local artists. She's like, how cool is it that you get to kind of do both and tie everything together? I'm like, that's very intentional. I said, you'll get to a point in your life where you look at your day job and go, okay, that's nice. But it's really cool that we get to support and give back. 612-859-2594. That number is also textable.
Well, and I think it's important for people to remember, whether we're looking at the GoFundMe model, the Patreon model, the Bandcamp model, you don't have to be singularly responsible for the well-being of that artist or that person that you are supporting. But if you, and even a handful of others, a few dozen others, mm-hmm. maybe in the best case scenario, hundreds of others are working towards that end. It's not putting that artist in a private jet. It's allowing them to continue to do the thing that you love, that they love. And it all works together. Like, you know, like our Patreon here on the Brian Oak Show, you know, a person who's in for $5 a month, They don't have to give us any money, but for $5 a month, if they and a few dozen other people do it, we can have the Smart Start MN Studios. We can continue to get great local artists in. It doesn't take a lot to support your local community and keep people afloat. Would you say that's fair, Hannah?
I'd say that's really fair.
Exactly. So Bandcamp/Holy Hannah to find out more about this particular record. We're going to talk more about the record, but really the main reason we're having you in, you have a full-blown residency happening at your home, the Astor, coming up in the very near future, and we're going to talk about that coming up next.
Yeah, just a very quick thing to mention. You had said it might be Holy Hannah Club. If you just go to Bandcamp and you type in Holy Hannah, your stuff comes up right away. So that's how people, just so we, I just want to make sure that we're clear on that so people can support her.
Thanks for being a pal, brother.
No problem. You prefer the term easy peasy or easy peasy lemon squeezy?
I like lemon squeezy.
I actually got to be honest, I do too. Maybe it's because I grew up in a cheesy era of commercials and promotion, but I also am a big lemon squeezy guy. This particular song, Hannah, is called Lust/Love, which is a very interesting intersection in most of our lives. I want you to tell me about this song before we hear it, if you don't mind.
Oh boy. Well,
you don't have to go deep. I just give me a general overview, unless you really feel like opening up a vein, which apparently I've done. I've got blood streaming. I don't know what I did.
The world.
There's a hole in my leg. Like there maybe is. I was shot from a nearby room.
Yeah, that's odd.
What is that?
I don't know.
Take a picture of it.
Get new razors.
I don't shave my legs. Hannah, I'm sorry that you've been invited into our world of madness. I'm going to be honest. Normally, there's a lot less bleeding in the Smart Start MN Studios, but I gotta staunch the bleeding while you tell us about your song, Lust Love.
I mean, got any more rusty razors around?
Exactly.
Well, luckily my tetanus shots are up to date.
I used to drink at the Rusty Razor.
Tell me about your song.
The song. Well, we all know, I think, as humans, that in the beginning stages of any sort of
interactions, it's a little spicy during the early days, isn't it?
It can be difficult to make a distinguishment between. Mm.
And I don't know that we have
lust
to make that
love.
Distinguishment. Like early on, you know, eventually you settle out and things start to sort themselves out. But those are heady days early on.
Oh,
like
man.
Then, woof.
It's tough.
So like
this
brush fire.
This song definitely just is my catharsis regarding that feeling and sorting those yearnings out. I don't know.
No, that's okay. I think you've said all that needs to be said, because I don't think there's a single person listening right now who hasn't experienced that sort of uncertainty, confusion, fire. It's weird when you don't know what direction it's going, but you are going 150 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Oof.
Oh,
Holy Hannah on the Brian Oak Show.
Demonstrate. Ooh, If I ask you to say what it is I think is real.
Holy Hannah on the
Holy
Brian Oak Show.
Hannah.
Episode 623. No, that can't be right.
Not 600, 263.
Oh, well, you said who put that in wrong?
I don't know. Might have
Did
been,
I do that?
Might have been the bleeder.
I don't know what's going on with me right now, man, but I am losing blood at a steady rate right now off my leg, and I don't know how it happened. I just looked down, and I was bleeding. Anyway, episode 263, speaking of dyslexic, I'm Brian Oak. That's Sean Bernard, and we're joined now by Hannah Vonderhoff, a.k.a. Holy Hannah. Hannah, you travel a lot, and I don't know about a lot, but you, when you post, you're always in these idyllic locations, and I feel like, and I wish I could do it. Do you love to travel?
I do love to travel, and it's a relatively new venture for me.
Yeah.
I'd say in the last, like, last five years I've been traveling.
Well, precisely, but to me, here's the important thing. I think there are a lot of people, myself included, who are like, well, I can't afford that. Well, I have too much going on. Well, I'm too busy. Well, this is the thing. If you travel right, and I've done it before, you know, I remember going back to Playa del Carmen before there were any resorts, there were no roads there, it was all dirt roads. The whole trip might have cost me $600, right? And I was there for weeks, and it was lovely. I mean, if you travel right, it doesn't have to be this outrageously, freakishly expensive experience, and you can still have the time of your life.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
That is fair, and I, you know, there are ways to be very economical about the approach. In some cases, the biggest expense is just getting there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can be decisive with what kind of accommodation you're looking for,
right,
how frequently you're going out to eat, how frequently you're buying drinks. And I keep a cap on all that by just living really simply. And I buy all my food from, you know, just get my produce for the week, make most of my meals at home, save drinking for when I'm playing a show. And I'm able to keep my costs really low. And
I'm jealous. I haven't been out of the country in a very long time, and I've been thinking about it. You know, it takes a little while. It's like anything else. Like, it builds up, and it's in the back of my head. And I'm not dying to go to, you know, like, I don't need to go to Monaco, right, and spend the night at the casino. Although that does sound fucking rad. I'm going to be honest, that sounds rad. But you know what I mean? Like, just getting away and taking a little time away and really digging your toes in the sand, listening to the rhythm of the tide, and just... But that's not where we are right now. We're working, people. And speaking of working, Holy Hannah, an August residency every single week is coming up at... Is it Thursdays or Fridays?
Wednesdays.
That's what I meant to say. Thank you very much. Every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday.
Up to and including tomorrow's, where we kick things off at the Astor, which is sort of your home away from home for a very long time now.
Yes, it has.
But now, being that you're the kingpin, you have decided to have your own residency there, and you get to pick who you're going to be playing with. Now, are they openers for you? Do you play with them? How does that game work?
Yeah, they'll be kicking off the night each night.
Okay.
Tomorrow we'll be featuring Cassandra Cole. She had hit me up a couple of months ago saying, hey, we should really share a show. And I know she just released a record at Ice House. So this worked out for us to come together for an evening. So that will be tomorrow already. Wow.
And I know that two weeks from tomorrow, you've got Jillian Ray, who's been a guest on this show. I don't know Laura Hugo, though. Tell me about Laura Hugo.
Laura Hugo is a really amazing, amazing songwriter. And she would come and play at the Astor frequently when I was booking music over there. But she's been active about town as a songwriter. And I can't. Where is she originally from? Perhaps she's originally from Arizona. I don't recall exactly, but
I'm gonna
definitely
go with Estonia. I think she was from Estonia originally. Yeah.
Definitely check Laura Hugo out. And then we got Jillian Ray, we got Maya Lena, and then we have Theyself as the final installment.
Here's the deal. When you go out for a night of good music, you know, one artist, two artists, three artists, whatever, the Astor is super chill. $10 to walk into the room is literally nothing in the day and age that we live in.
Yeah.
You can't leave the house for less than $50 these days. You really can't. And so $10 to go out and see good music on a Wednesday evening. Tell me these don't go until 2 a.m. because old men like me can't stay out that late.
No. This is a totally accessible for middle of the week show. Music kicks off at 8:00. We don't go later than 10:00 unless you really want that.
I thought she was going to say this is totally accessible for middle-aged men like you, Brian.
It
would have been fair. And that would have been completely fair, Hannah. I appreciate that. So now if people want to know about this upcoming residency, I know if people want to buy your music and support you, they go to Bandcamp. But if they're like, well, wait a minute, when's all this? Do they go to the Astor's website? Do you have a website? Where do they go?
Seats saved or to reserve, make a reservation for the show. You can go to Astor's website and on the calendar there, you'll see the show listed. And there is a link to buy, to reserve a table. There's a reserve a seat essentially. And then they just put the cover charge right in your tab. So you don't have to have cash ready at the door or anything like that.
Smart.
Just is super easy.
Yeah.
They got great food, amazing drinks, and a good vibe. So just we hope you will join us.
Let me ask you a question before we wrap things up and hear one more song of yours. So you've got this residency happening throughout the entire month of August, every Wednesday. You've got this record that is available for people to go check out at Bandcamp.
Mm-hmm.
You seem, and maybe this is just your standard vibe all the time, but you seem chill. You seem good. Are you good?
I'm good. I mean, as good as I can be, and that's a very, it's not a static statement.
It's all
relative,
right?
It's like always, the kind of the way I think about it is anything that's static is not alive. Like if you're flatlined.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah, it's over.
It's over.
So I always have to, in those moments, in the troughs and burrows, just trying my best to remember, okay, like, this, at least I have some relativity, like ups and downs. Like I need the slump in order to appreciate the high. And I know mental health is really a constant struggle for so many people, especially nowadays. And I'm really trying to explore that more with music and songwriting and like mental health themes and the existential matters in general really interest me.
Given where we are all right now, because I talked to so many musicians on this show and during my regular job, are the songs still coming? Because I find that COVID shut a lot of people down and it put a lot of people in a weird spot, and it made people in what others might assume to be, oh, I've got all this downtime, what an incredibly fertile time. More musicians than not said it completely shut them down. So are the songs still coming? Are you feeling good about music?
Oh, yeah. I actually just recounted. I have at least 10 new songs. So an album's worth of material waiting in the wings, which I'm really excited to start that process again. I love recording so much. So I feel very fortunate. I feel like my my proficiency as a songwriter has increased. At least,
the game never ends, right? I mean, yeah. We learn our whole lives, so that's the way it should be moving.
Yeah, I'm really encouraged by that.
Good for you.
That well has been running.
I get it, but it's good right now.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, and like you just said, there are down days, there are up days, but right now we are living 2 days, so I'm glad to hear that for you, and I'm very happy for you, and good luck with everything in the future.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Up to and including the residency that we can look forward to kicking off tomorrow with Cassandra Cole and Holy Hannah, and then every Wednesday throughout the month at the Astor. Go to the Astor Cafe's website, find Holy Hannah on Bandcamp, and it's lovely to see your face in person. It's nice to have you in here, and I'm glad that we're at a point in the world. I know, despite monkeypox and long-term COVID, we're all still a little sketchy about it, but I did bleach this place down like hell before you got in here in an effort to protect your artistic endeavors. But we're back out there, and it feels kind of good to be coming back to life, right?
It certainly does. Thank you so much.
I want to thank Smart Start MN. I want to thank AudioQuip, who provided us with all this high-end, beautiful equipment we have here in the Smart Start MN studios. All of our Patreon members, and really anybody who's ever listened, shared, amplified, subscribed, anything at all. It's hard to imagine that we are on episode 263 of this particular podcast, but here we are, and it still feels good to do it.
It sure does. We are working on getting a Patreon event. It's going to take us a little while to put it together. Might be more likely in September, but possibly late August. So,
What do you think about maybe like getting Bublé for like a holiday thing?
Probably not.
No?
Not, no.
Okay, well, no. But if we got like 500 new Patreon supporters at the $25 level, we could probably swing it then.
Or Kenny G for half that price.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not really a big alto sax guy. I'm going to be honest. You know, I'd much rather hear Bublé go. I think that's the signal that it's time for us to wrap things up. It's time to go.
Thanks, Hannah.
Thanks to our guest, Hannah. And the whole time she's had this bewildered look on her face like, what did I sign up for?
Happening?
Did I really decide to do
I've
this?
I've seen it all. You guys are nothing.
Nothing.
This is,
whoa.
Well, not like
whoa.
Nothing. Just you're, this is,
yeah,
you know,
no. This is a walk in the park.
This
I got
is
you.
A walk in the park.
All right, well, fine.
I'll go to bed. Anyway.
Fine. Let's do this then. We're going to say goodbye to everybody. We'll be back next time. You've got another song for us to play, and you said if we ended up hearing this song, tell me about this song, tell me about your process, tell me why we're wrapping up an entire episode with this particular track by Holy Hannah.
Oh, because this is the one that really gets you in the field. So this is Time Machine. I wrote this after my first time visiting this town I've been living in Sayulita, and it definitely kind of captures the feelings regarding regret. And I don't like to be a huge advocate for regret, but it's a real feeling, a feeling that we all experience. And so this particular tune embodies that. Also, it was, as I mentioned, this kind of way to test the waters with a specific studio. And I just really particularly love like this moment where we did all these vocal takes. And we engage all the tracks at once to see how they sound in the playback together. And this like super magical moment, like what just happened and how did that even happen?
So cool.
And mostly in the track you're about to hear, that's all preserved. There isn't a whole lot of like, post-production, alignment. It just like what you're hearing just kind of like magically somehow happened when we played all these tracks back together during the recording process. And so for that, like the purity of it, and there's just like all the analog gear and the plate reverb and all, I just like I really, really, really love
the look on your face is fantastic right now. Yeah. The look on your face, I mean, well, let's go ahead and enjoy it. Thank you, Hannah. You have a good one.
You too. Thank you.
Wish I would have stayed with you, but I couldn't find the courage. I was afraid you didn't feel it too, but I didn't need to worry. I already knew exactly. I have down deep.